live from deep within an icy but windy and now sort of sunny and slightly muddy radioactive meme land. We are the survivors of the alt-right apocalypse. The few, the brave, the bitchy, once more wading into battle against the froggy hordes with Rant Zerker number 84. Muslims don't kill people. Men kill people. With other people.
The Muslims.
The Muslims.
The Muslims.
Yeah, also, I may have to leave intermittently because apparently my basement's flooding.
Yes, Karen is actually dealing with a windstorm. Oh, we're getting some echo. Who are we getting echo from?
I think Prim, I don't know. Prim has Prim. A bit of that.
Can but, you get to, if you have any headphones?
She's muted, but we're having a wind and rainstorm, and so yes, yet again, the basement is flooding and the carpet is splashing.
Your dog sounds really congested.
Oh my God, Georgia, go away. Jesus, fuck.
Okay.
I got my earbuds in, so I can't hear her. Well, you guys can, but I can't.
Well, excellent. So, if you're listening to this after the live show, and you didn't actually hear that extended exchange between me and Karen and her dog, because you're listening to the abridged version, which has none of the bullshit in it, and you want to hear the full stream for whatever goddamn reason.
Yeah, whatever kind of psychotic, masochistic reason you might want. I don't know. I guess maybe you feel like you were really bad to your parents when you were a kid and you need punishment now.
Whatever reason you can give yourself, you want to hear the full stream, go to www.honeybadgerradio for our unabridged podcasts. Or look up to the right of this video. There is a link to go directly to the unabridged version on YouTube. And also, there's a playlist of our unabridged shows called Honey Badger Uncut that you can access at our homepage on YouTube.
But wait, there's more. If you order now, you'll get 2 mini sham wows.
Okay.
What do you get?
Still echo. Our Australia fundraiser is still ongoing. We're trying to get the Doge to Australia, which means if we are successful, he will be skydiving to bring attention to men's suicide.
Yeah, I know. He'll be, essentially courting suicide.
To bring attention but he's not, it's not suicide because it wouldn't be intentional. It'd be
he'll be jumping from a high place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it too soon?
No, it's not too soon until it's 5 seconds before the actual thing happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to terrify the Doge, and we will be strapping some sort of camera to him during this whole process. Hopefully it works. We don't know.
But... Yeah, we won't be strapping a camera person to him, though.
No, not a camera person. Probably just a camera.
Yeah.
And we'll get it all. Mm-hmm. All of it. All of the terror, potentially. You know, there might be logistical problems. But if you want to see it happen, then you have to send him to Australia. So go to www.feedthebadger.com, put a few shekels in the hat, and bring the Doge to Australia.
Nigga, you get.
Because we want to see him.
No. Oh, God.
That's so funny. I was going to rules lawyer this shit, but no, Brian volunteered.
I just don't even fucking...
That's how I roll.
Why would someone do that? For charity.
Mike Buchanan. Yeah, it's Mike Buchanan who's doing it. He's doing it for charity. And actually, you know what? I haven't even told him that Brian volunteered. So maybe Brian...
You know what's hilarious about Mike Buchanan? He's probably the most mild-mannered, kind of nerdy... Surprising. Nerdy looking guy. He's not the type at all that you would think would be jumping out of an airplane. But then again, he's not the... To look at him, you wouldn't necessarily think he's the kind of person who would essentially stick his balls on the chopping block and form a political party to fight for the rights of men and boys.
He's actually a very sweet man.
Oh, and brave.
He's earned my husband's everlasting love by purchasing him a drink.
Yeah, he bought me some drinks too.
Jonathan, who's my husband, he's gonna go. He says, "I'm gonna go find the guy that bought me a drink, and I'm gonna hang out with him."
Oh,
Yeah.
Well, if that was the case for me, I'd be hanging out with everybody.
Mm. Well, you know, you get drinks from everyone. My husband doesn't get drinks from everyone. He only gets drinks from some people, and then he's extremely loyal to them. This is how I ended up, you know, 20 years later.
Ah. Is that all it takes? Sounds like a cheap date.
You bought me a beer 20 years ago. I've been your husband for 20 years, and that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. All right, so throw a few shekels in the hat. Australia
Do we have to get into SciTube?
No,
we don't.
No,
we
don't.
It's an article.
I'm just going to read the article. Do you want me to give you guys a link in case you want to look at it?
Yes. Yeah, give us a link and then throw it up. And by the way, the person
it's already
said,
up.
Why don't we get into the topic? Dude, this is the live stream. This is where all of the bullshit goes. You want us to get into the talk, go to the abridged version, where there will be no bullshit.
You're not alone, my friend.
You can access it at any time.
If you don't want bullshit, I mean, like, I only woke up, like, 15 minutes ago, so you're just going to have to wait a little bit and be patient.
And just so you know, this stream will not be gamified. There's no option to extend it, because nobody wants to go past, like, 45 minutes. So, sorry, friends. And we are going to be doing an after show. The after show will be... What's the name of the after show, Brian?
I already forgot. It's crab eye, sexy crab eyes. Giving me sexy crab eyes or something like that.
So, making sexy crab eyes at me.
Yeah. Making sexy crab eyes at me. That's it.
Yeah, that's gonna be the
if
after show.
If you
want
to know
topic.
What that's about, you'll have to join us in the after show. But I tell you what, there may be no I in sex, but there is an I in cringe.
Mm. And
there's
an E.
There's no I in crab eyes, though.
No.
There is a Y, though.
Why not?
It's not the same, Allison.
It's not the same. Okay, all right, let's do this thing.
Okay.
I think I've wittered enough. And Brian, I can hear his groaning.
That's okay. I got to meet with my someone about some product. So,
someone about some product?
Yes. It's not Muslims or people with mental health problems who are the most likely to kill you in a terrorist attack. It's men. These men were not extremists existing outside of society. They are products of it. Toxic masculinity demands inequality.
Demands it.
Do you guys want to say anything before I even get into the...
Okay, I just want to say... Okay, it's sort of true in as much as the people who are most likely to do anything newsworthy are men.
How about this? We teach men and boys that their worth is in service to ideologies, countries, states, religions, whatever. Worth is in service to something beyond themselves, and they have no worth except in service of that thing. And then some people in that ideology, belief system, religion, whatever you want to go, they go to these men and boys who have been taught that they have no worth outside of service and say, you know the best way you could serve us? Strap a fucking bomb to your chest. Go blow yourself up for our insert entity in the sky.
Or shoot up a crowd of people or whatever,
Or shoot up a crowd of people.
Trying to narrow down the issue to, like, a certain ideology to try and figure out what's going on is totally unproductive, right? So let's broaden it out to include half the population instead. That'll make the problem easier to pin down, right?
Well, I mean, there is a problem. There is a problem in the fact that men are more likely to take action. Right, and they're more likely to take action in a number of ways. Not all of them good. They are more likely to be the bystander who sees flames coming out of a fucking building and just takes it upon himself to run inside and save the old lady and her cat. Right, that's almost always going to be a man too. Right, men are more likely to take actual noticeable action. That's not toxic masculinity. Mm-mm. When men take action, it can be bad action or it can be good action. It can be harmful or it can be helpful. But the fact that they are more likely than women to take action in any given situation, right, is not a reason to say, and therefore mass murders are the fault of men.
I'm going to put something in here too. Men are more likely to take action, yes, but every man who takes action is someone's hero. This man is someone's hero.
Yes.
And we are going to blame him instead of the people who consider his actions heroic. Like, yeah. I think about that. If he wasn't considered... Oh, I mean, there are always going to be the isolated criminals, serial killers, etc., who are just completely off the wall. But yeah. If this is taking place, it's taking place in a context where this man thought that his actions were heroic. If you're just going to look at this and say, oh, it's just men doing it, no. Because I guarantee if there wasn't a group of people out there telling this man that these actions are heroic, he wouldn't have done them.
And those people aren't all men either.
Mm-mm. No. And in fact, it is the women in the group who consider these actions heroic who are more influential. And there are studies that actually support that. There's, you know, research looking into these particular cultures, these particular groups, to support the idea that the women in the groups are more influential in cultivating terrorist acts, in recruiting terrorists, and keeping the group together. And the reason why is because most every man on the planet wants to be a hero in the eyes of a woman.
Well, that's toxic masculinity for you. He for she!
Yeah.
And you got to ask yourself, whose eyes is this man a hero in?
Yeah. And what kind of people are they? So, anyway, shall we move on? Now we're going to get into the actual meat and potatoes of the article. So, mass male violence is everywhere right now. First it was Orlando, then Nice, and Bavaria, Munich, Kabul, Fort Myers, Sagamihara. As each massacre is reported, ministers and media leap to unpick each individual attacker's motivations. Immediately, the snap judgments come out. If they were brown, they were a terrorist. If not, they were mentally ill.
Do you remember the good old days when, like, Genghis Khan would put entire cities to the sword and then stack their dead bodies up into a big mountain in front of the city so that people would actually, when they were approaching the city, they would think, oh, what's that big, gigantic hill? And then they would realize that they were walking in the liquefied, rotting remains of the humans that were actually melting out of that hill. And yet, it didn't get any fucking press, right? And there weren't feminists around to say, this is the fault of all men.
Well, I mean, I just love how she posts a bunch of acts committed by terrorists and mentally ill people, and then is like, we shouldn't blame this on terrorism or mentally ill people. Clearly, the common denominator is men. I'm so good at equality.
Well, I mean, like, you know, like, what gets me, too, is that she's, like, listing off these, and male violence is more prominent than ever. It's more prevalent than ever. And it's like, no, it's not. Even in Europe, these days, with these terrorist attacks, Europe is more peaceful than it has been ever. Like, you are less likely to die by violence anywhere in the world now than you were 100, 200, 300, 1,000 years ago. We just hear about it. We just hear about it from our wonderful 24-hour news channels and all of this stuff, right? And it's like, yeah, no, it's, you know, actually, when you look at it, the problem is getting less and less and less, not more and more and more. It's just that maybe the problem is migrating a little bit towards, you know, out of the Middle East and spreading around, but it's not more prevalent than it was 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years ago. We just know about it.
Mm. Yeah, and like hyping it up isn't really doing anybody any good.
Well, I think hyping it up isn't doing any good. I like, if these governments would actually take measures to, I don't know, fix the fucking problem, which would involve not inviting so many freaking people from another culture into their countries, and then on top of that, not requiring that they speak the language. Not, you know, like they don't require that they speak the fucking language to stay.
Yeah, no kidding. Like proper integration obviously should be a key priority, and you can only do that with so many people. So maybe just let in a reasonable number of people. Oh, but you know, you can't suggest that, otherwise you're Islamophobic and racist and all that good stuff.
Well, why isn't Saudi Arabia taking any of these fucking people in? Yeah. You know why?
You can't expect that.
You know why? Because they're worried that they're terrorists.
Yeah, probably.
No, that's what they've said. They've said they are not taking any of them in because terrorists come in with them.
All right, so one of my sources is The Female Jihad, Al-Qaeda's Women, by Katharina von Knopp. I'm just going to read a little bit from the abstract. When women carry out a suicide attack, they undermine the idea of who and what a terrorist is. What is generally not realized is the extent to which women are involved in terrorism. The purpose of this article is to explore and analyze the multifaceted roles of women in the movement of Al-Qaeda. The argument is that the role of women the world audience perceives is one of suicide bomber, but the role of ideological supporter and operational facilitator is more important for the maintenance of the operational capabilities and the ideological motivation for a terrorist organization. This article argues that the women follow a gender-specific interpretation of the radical ideology, the female jihad. The concept of the female jihad means that women carry out a political act by supporting their male relatives, educating their children in the ideology, and facilitating terrorist operations. The female jihad is defective when women follow the male jihad interpretation by carrying out attacks. For the survival of a terrorist organization, women are more important when they follow the female version of the ideology because the men could get arrested, die in an attack, or could get shot by the security forces. The women continue to take care of the financial issues of the organization and continue to educate the children in the right belief. So essentially, because women are more likely to survive, they follow a different model that ensures the continuance of terrorist operations. And they do so by controlling the finances and the teaching of the ideology and the motivating of terrorists. So I just, you know, if you want to just look at this as a one-sex thing, you're not going to get anywhere with it.
Yeah, no. And it's absolutely, like, it really is... Like, when I was reading the one article on The Independent that quoted, I don't know if it was that study or a different one, and they looked into something like 40,000 or 26,000 male terrorists active online and 16,000 female terrorists active online. And They found that it was exactly this type of thing, and they said that essentially women's roles are often behind the scenes, less visible, but more important to the actual operational functionality of terrorist cells. And when I think about that, you know, I'm thinking back to my, you know, the tyranny of female hypoagency. I'm thinking, you know, that Warren Farrell quote, men's greatest weakness is his facade of strength. Women's greatest strength is her facade of weakness. I'm thinking of women's particular form of power in which part of that power is the plausible deniability, which allows them to wield it without accountability, right? And all of it fits into the sort of the female half of the equation. Women don't get let off the hook here.
No, and here's the thing. The reason why women are more essential to the continuance of the organization is because men are getting blown up or blowing themselves up. So without the women to continue it,
or getting
it would disappear.
Put in prison.
Or put in prison.
Yeah.
You know, it would just disappear.
Yeah.
It's because of the expendability of the men that it requires the women to keep the continuance of the operation. And then, you know, a leader will get blown up, and the women will probably just select a new leader. You see that with Mormon compounds. They'll arrest, not the nice Mormons, the polygamous Mormons. They'll arrest the supposed head guy in charge, and then 1 week later, the women will have voted in a new alpha gorilla, yeah. And they'll keep going. And then he'll get arrested, and then they'll just vote in a new alpha gorilla. And that's the way it works. It's the women who are the continuance, the lifeblood, the body of an organization, even when it comes to a terrorist organization.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the women would be very offended to have anybody imply that they don't believe as devoutly as the men.
Oh, absolutely.
That kind of thing. Like, how else would they keep perpetuating it so much? Like, they have to teach their sons to be, like, good Muslims too, right?
That's true. And here's another thing. When we center Muslim women as these vulnerable, delicate little petals who are being crushed, not just by their own men, according to the right, the narrative of the right, but also by Western men, according to the narrative of the left. When we center Muslim women as the most vulnerable, the most delicate, the most just
victimized.
Oh, we have to save them. They're so precious. And we bring them in and we give them political clout and we center them as a vulnerable class. And you can see from the intersectional hierarchy of vulnerability that they go right to the top, which means that they will inherit the entire lobbying apparatus of the feminist movement. When we do that, don't be surprised that they come in and they end up radicalizing disenfranchised Western men. And they just create a new terrorist cells out of our men.
Do you remember, did anybody watch American Sniper?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember that scene right near the beginning where he's on the rooftop and he sees the woman in the burqa and the little boy?
Yeah.
And she looks like she's carrying something, right? And he's guarding essentially this operation. They're sweeping houses. And she looks like she's carrying something under her clothes. And then he sees her hand a bomb to this little freaking six-year-old boy who then goes, carries it running towards this group of soldiers. And he takes out the boy, right? The sniper takes out the boy and the woman, oh no. And you immediately, it's your first instinct. She's going to run to this boy and, you know, and weep over him. No, she's running to the boy to grab the fucking bomb and carry it and throw it at these fucking soldiers. Right. And the fact that she, honestly, the fact that a woman would send a fucking little boy to do that job is disgusting. If she was willing to do it herself, she should have fucking taken it on herself.
But that's the thing. That's all of what we see. You don't see the women because they're in the background keeping this going.
Yep.
And the studies show, and there's more and more research coming out regarding the importance of the sisterhood in these terrorist cells and perpetuating terrorism. You know, and that's not to say that every Muslim woman who comes to the West is going to end up doing this kind of thing. It's to say that they are not necessarily the innocent lambs that the West wants to paint them as.
Well, they're about as likely to be guilty or innocent as any Muslim man, I would guess.
Well, they do raise kids. They are involved with creating, you know, and fostering, you know, these opinions, this ideology. They do it through their children.
If you want to go all the way back, it's usually women who are the first early adopters of any religious movement.
Yeah.
And just like Muslim men, the vast majority of Muslim women probably would never do anything like this.
You know, honestly, When I think about Islam, right, because there were articles ages ago in The Guardian and whatever declaring that Muhammad was the first feminist, and but some of the first things that he did was he gave women, married women, property rights that were equivalent and marital entitlements that were equivalent to what only occurred in the West after feminists started dismantling coverture laws. right? So it was only after the Married Women's Property Act of the UK and after those particular laws spread across the West, which is tends to happen, within, the next decade or two, those kinds of decisions spread to other similar cultures. But it was only after those acts were enacted in, I think it was 1835 and 1865, that Western women had the exact same property rights within marriage that Muslim women did right from the start. And so if he was the first feminist, that was a real fucking smart move, because you want women to join your fucking religion? Tell them they'll be treated like jewels, they'll be treated like princesses, they'll be taken care of, they're entitled to a living, they can keep their own property, what's mine is mine and what's yours is ours, honey, and they are exempt from all kinds of things.
This whole argument that Muhammad wasn't a feminist is predicated on this idea that feminist men wouldn't have sex with an underage woman. Or wouldn't kill women. Feminist men wouldn't kill women. You know, that feminist men wouldn't beat women. That feminist men wouldn't attempt to murder a woman. You know, it's predicated.
Yet, Allison.
It's predicated on believing that feminist men wouldn't engage in horrific acts against women.
Well, you just created that statement, and it already has history.
And an echo.
What does it even matter if he did like nice things, like if he's doing these horrible things as well, like, you know, just because somebody does one good thing and then does a bunch of awful, terrible things doesn't all of a sudden make him a paragon, you know?
Well, agreed.
No, we're not arguing that.
But we're essentially saying that, you know, if he was the type to notice that women would be more likely to be early adopters of any religious movement, then he would go out of his way initially to do some massive things that would be just like the women would really appreciate.
Oh, no, I'm basically agreeing with you guys. It's just the way I was reframing it.
Okay. Let me repeat what I said. Believing that Muhammad wasn't a feminist requires believing that feminists actually don't use their feminism entirely politically to get adherence. They don't actually genuinely believe, and they don't ever engage in misogyny themselves, because it's perfectly consistent that a man who engages in misogyny, even violence against women, you know, even preying on underage women or preying on vulnerable women, preying on their students, won't use feminism as a political tool. And I'm afraid to say that we have many, 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 many examples of men who use feminism as a political tool while being incredibly...
Total scumbags.
Total scumbags.
Yeah. So even Steve Shives. Even Steve Shives called them out. I mean, he was one of the few who actually, and I'll give him credit for this, one of the few people who called out male feminists for sexually harassing women online, that there was... You know, there were reports of sexual harassment going on in the community, and not just, you know, the sort of sexual harassment that, you know, drive by, show us your tits comments or whatever, but actually trying to get women to, you know, send nudes or whatever, right? Things like that.
So the feminists might be entirely right. Muhammad might be the first feminist man.
Oh, man.
And we talked about that yesterday on the Polecat.
Are we going to go back to, you know, all the way back to freaking Kyle Payne and Hugo Schweitzer and Hannibal the Victor and...
Oh,
there
God.
Was that, there, was that, there was that woman, feminist woman, I don't know her name, but she said on a talk show, Islam is the most feminist religion. And there were people who were sharing it to say, ha ha ha, that's so hilarious, because no way is that true, that's so funny. And I was like, no, actually, if you follow feminism to its, like, you know, ultimate conclusion, it results in Sharia. Because you got to protect women. Protect the women, protect the women, protect the women, protect the women, and make sure that they know how much constant danger they're in. That's where it's going to land. And they're going to love it, because they're going to be like, I feel so safe. in my burqa.
Yeah, don't you know that like hiding your features under a burqa, under a hijab, yeah, all that is just protecting you from the male gaze.
It is protecting you from the men.
And yeah, that's exactly how they frame it.
From the toxic male gaze, yeah. And it's really, they do frame it in the sense of, it's not necessarily even to protect women from being raped by men who can't control themselves. It's to protect women from the indignity of being looked at by unworthy men.
And also Steve Shives only said that because he's the best male feminist. And he's like the paragon of male feminism. He is peak man feminist ally. Credit where credit is due, but just so we know where that's coming from.
Did you guys watch Baring's most recent video about him where he's like saying that people like Baring live in a bubble?
Yeah.
Right? Where they only hear similar opinions.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I'm like, I bet you if we actually did like a tally of all of the people across the globe who are actually on the internet and compared it against how many people Steve Shives has blocked, it would be about 50% of those people.
Dude, amazingly, I haven't been blocked by him yet. I'm kind of astounded. Yeah, it's amazing. I checked it like 2 days ago.
He hasn't noticed you yet, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure? Because I just saw a Steve Shives impersonator account on YouTube. So you might have been checking an impersonator. Ooh. I don't know.
You don't know.
That would be my first suspicion.
I'll have to double check. I mean, I did look up Steve Shives directly, but I'll definitely double check after this, just for the fun of it.
Oh, God.
Okay, let's move on, because Brian...
I want to read more of the article. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's only been a half an hour, and I've only read, like, the first couple of paragraphs. Okay. Further probing exposes, then, their beliefs and contradictions. The Orlando murderer Omar Mateen worked as an armed guard for security firm G4S for 9 years. The Saga Mahira murderer worked at the care home he targeted, but apparently believed disabled people should be euthanized. As the attacks... go ahead.
I don't understand how it's contradictory that somebody would work as an armed guard and then... freak out. That's like saying
it's not.
Yeah, no, that's
it's a silly point.
Well, and the disabled people should be euthanized.
Yeah, if you've lived in America for like, you know, 9 years, there's no way you could have been radicalized, you know, either while you were here or before you were here. Like this whole thing with Islam, this just started. I don't know if you guys know, but it's only been going on since like 2007 or whenever I, you know, got out of college before I wrote this fucking article. There was no such thing as radical Islam before then.
Oh, you know what? You know what's hilarious too is that the guy, apparently the guy who blew himself up in Manchester, he was drinking, he was doing drugs, he was, you know, falling in with what his family described as, you know, bad influences, and they sent him to Jordan for a year to stay with family and get him away from those people. And when he came back, which was about a year ago, people essentially said that, you know, his entire, he just changed. He was just different. He wasn't the same person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He had to blow away all those sins. It's funny because a lot of times before Muslims, you know, do a suicide bombing or some horrible atrocity.
Yeah,
they go on a bender. They drink and they smoke.
They
bang a bunch of hookers. Basically, it's like, well, if I'm going to clean out the whole, my, you know, all of my sin, let me fill that up with a bunch of skeletons and just go hog wild. It's like knowing it's the end of the world and, you know, trying to have as much fun as possible.
Knowing that this one act is going to actually wipe out all of that other shit you did, all the ways you were a bad Muslim. And get you into heaven with your 72 fucking virgins, yeah.
What if we could get to those guys and just tell them, you know what? Actually, if you spend a lifetime, you know, with hookers and games and pornography, that's okay. It's actually a better use of your life than blowing yourself up in a freaking square
concert
with a whole bunch of kids. That's actually, this is, you know, I think people would prefer. I actually think it's more moral for young men to spend their entire lives just enjoying themselves, having fun. What's wrong with that? I mean, no, why do you have to do it the week before you kill yourself? Why not just do it all your life?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, not to mention, if you get into heaven with the, like, 72 virgins, like, eventually, they're not going to be virgins anymore, you know?
No, their hymens regrow every night.
Oh, okay.
It's heaven.
I didn't know that logic.
Well, I mean, magic. Yeah, it's heaven. I mean, come on.
Or maybe they just replace the virgins
you get your 72, but, like, after that, you don't want to have sex with them anymore because it's just not as fun. So shall we continue?
Yes, just keep going.
All right.
As the attacks mount up, the individual profiling descends into morbid freefall, and we overlook the most basic commonality. These crimes were all committed by men. In fact, almost all mass murders are committed by men. This is no coincidence. I will not name these vile, violent men. Not just because this would give them the recognition they wanted, although you did say Omar Mateen just a little while ago, but whatever. But because it's unhelpful. Instead, we need to name the real culprit. Toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity is what entitles a man to take a weapon and take other people's lives in the name of his values. Toxic masculinity enforces the idea that being a man means not just being strong, but showing that strength through violence and fear. It means always being the one in control, having power and dominance over others at all times, by any means. All right, Allison, go ahead.
There are female suicide bombers, too.
There are female suicide bombers, too. And here's another thing, too. This goes back to what we were saying before. Women raise children. Women are involved with the raising of children, and radical Islamic terrorists who are more likely to engage in risky behavior, like blowing themselves up, are raised by women, mothers, and family members, and wives, or whatever. Maybe not wives. I'm not sure that, because I think there's a lot of Muslim men that don't actually end up getting married. I'm not really sure, though.
Well, I think that the Muslim couple that ended up stabbing people a while back.
Yeah.
She
got brainwashed by him, and that's why. That's the narrative.
But she was westernized until...
No. Okay, the Muslim couple who what? The ones in San Bernardino. Who attacked the Christmas party with guns and stuff, right? Okay, he was just a normal guy, normal Muslim living in America, went to fucking Pakistan or whatever to meet the woman that he was going to marry, right? And got radicalized. She was heavily radicalized. She radicalized him.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who was the
We know that. We know that. It was just this, it's just that, that's the point, though. I mean, that this, like...
we used to literally... Under coverture, we used to literally have something that would protect women from that, right? It was called a marital coercion law, and it only worked if a woman invoked it against her husband. A man could not invoke marital coercion against his wife, right? And it basically meant that if she committed a crime within his presence or with his knowledge, she was assumed to be doing so at his behest, right? And it was not until, you know, the interpretation of that law, and it still existed in the UK until like 2014, I think, was when they, and cases that that where the coercion allegedly happened before 2014 can still actually be, people can still actually invoke this law now. But it used to be very, very broadly interpreted that it was, the assumption was that if she was in her husband's presence or if he had knowledge of her actions, then she was doing so at his behest, and he would have to actually provide an affirmative defense that this was not the case. And slowly, slowly, slowly over time, the burden of proof started to be shifted onto the woman who was invoking this particular law, right? So that she would actually have to prove that she was coerced. And then not just coerced, as in, you know, I'll give you the cold shoulder for, you know, for a month, or I'm not going to give you a dicking, or I'm going to cancel our tickets to freaking Fiddler on the Roof or whatever, right? But actual coercion, as in threats, right? And then finally they just decided, like, what the fuck do we even have this law for, and let's just get rid of it, right? But that was 2014.
I love right? how she mentions, like, all nearly all mass murders are committed by men, as if that means anything. It's like, so what if most mass murders are committed by men?
All mass murderers used to be children once, so we could just, you know, cut this off, like, at the pass and take care of that.
Yeah, like most, in fact, almost all, as you so generously put it, men do not commit mass murderers. So that's why it's really stupid to try and pin this on men as a nebulous whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. I mean, if you're gonna pin this kind of thing on men, right? And I'm not necessarily even arguing that, you know, because it is true, right? Mm-hmm. And there must be something about men that compels them to take action in ways that women do not. Okay, so if you're going to give men the fucking grief of being, you know, branded as the ones who commit all the mass murders, then maybe you can do them the honor of branding them all as the ones who are more likely to engage in heroism, in freaking saving that pod of dolphins that washed up on the beach by, you know, actually going and physically manhandling them back into the water, or running into that burning building or a collapsed freaking building or whatever to save someone, jumping into a freaking raging flooding river, right, to pull somebody or a dog
even
out of the floodwaters. Why are we not allowed to say that is also masculine?
Well, here's the thing. The reason why it's men doing these violent acts is obvious from what I cited, because they're more expendable. The women are needed to keep the continuity of the organization, to train the children, to take care of the finances, to do the logistics. Men are the ones who are disposable. That's toxic masculinity, as their term. This is why it's men that's doing it. It may also be an aspect of masculinity, as well, that the men are just more likely to do things. But again, this guy is a hero to a bunch of women. There are a bunch of women who are no doubt have a bunch of flowers, and they're putting them to a shrine to this guy. He's a hero to them.
Yeah, just like the leading, and
just remember,
like the men dragging the dolphins from the ocean are also heroes. What the hell is that sound?
That's Karen. One other thing, okay, too, don't forget, Islam said that they would spread it not by the sword, but by the womb. And so this is the degree to which they need women in Islam to perpetuate their ideology, because they're the ones they're going to outbreed everyone. So that, of course, they got to keep the women protected and safe. So that they are definitely a big part of it, if not, you know, the largest part of this whole thing.
Yeah, but they're just being used and exploited by a bunch of men, and the men who are actually blowing themselves up, who are actually killing themselves, they are the masterminds of the whole thing and the ones with the real power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much so that the men who are more likely to do this stuff are doing it because of the promise of being with a woman, even in the afterlife.
Okay, this is like the biggest thing. Are raised by women in this ideology to believe these beliefs about themselves. I mean, obviously these men would rather spend their life enjoying games and porn and hookers, because that's what they do before they die. And their mother told them, no, you can't do that. But, you know, if you kill yourself in the name of Allah, then you can enjoy a couple weeks of reprieve from all of these strict sanctions. So they've been raised to believe this by a woman. They're encouraged by women in their organizations who are the most influential, and their ultimate reward is women. At what point do we say, yeah, maybe women have a little bit of a role to play in this? I'm not saying I'm not saying a greater role, but at least an equal one.
I mean, also on top of that, we're all still talking from a perspective of like Muslims and Muslim terrorism and stuff like that. But really, like the context of this article, she's saying, "Oh, it's not Muslims; it's all men because all men are raised with this toxic masculinity." And I'm just like, an awful lot of this particular brand of toxic masculinity that seems to be talking about murder being okay and a thing that you can just go do is coming from a certain ideology, you know? Like, I don't think that I'm seeing a lot of that in atheist communities or in a lot of Western cultures because, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just me. I don't know about you guys.
No, and you're absolutely right. But, you know, I would also say that, you know, when feminists talk about toxic masculinity in the West, exactly what neighborhoods, you know, when you saw that, that video, 10 hours of walking in New York, right, where the woman was supposedly getting harassed and all of this stuff, right? Well, what neighborhoods was she in when she was getting harassed? And what is the rate of single motherhood in those neighborhoods? I mean, that's really what...
Forbidden!
It's a forbidden question. I was actually arguing with a feminist, I don't know, years ago online, and, you know, expressing doubt about catcalling because, you know, I have never had any fear of walking anywhere. I used to have the body of a Victoria's Secret model, right? Or almost as hot as Prim. And, you know, so
hello.
I mean, like, hello. But I used to have no, and I almost never got catcalled. I mean, like I'd get the odd compliment or comment or smile, but never like really rude, vulgar stuff. Right. And she said, well, there are some, you know, areas where I do find myself getting catcalled a whole lot. And I was like, well, where are you from? She says, I'm from the UK. And I said, well, where are these areas where you're getting catcalled? Would they be easily classified as men deserts?
Yeah, exactly. Where they have to, they don't have a nurturing male role model to.
Yeah, where the oldest male for 10 square miles is like 24 years old.
Yeah. Is it any wonder that they're modeling off of that, you know, a little more hormonal behavior? But let's get through this because we really need to get this done so Brian can get going.
All right.
And the next bit is juicy.
If typical masculinity promotes emotional disconnection, something that men's mental health charities are already trying to combat, toxic masculinity goes one step further and promotes the absence of empathy altogether. It also promotes the dismissal of anything deemed feminine and the hatred of anything that contradicts heteronormative ideals around what it means to be a man. The easiest way to think of it is to imagine the military. After all, soldiers are paid mass murderers. Different wars, same tactics. You fucking assholes. Do you realize, like, what people who are veterans have go through to protect your ass? Okay, I'm sorry. That's not in the article. That was just me getting mad. Okay.
No, I understand.
However,
I wanted to point out.
Oh,
something.
Yeah, go ahead.
That said, men's mental health charities are already trying to combat emotional disconnection. Bullshit. If men's mental health charities operate within the feminist model, they are essentially telling men that they have mental health issues, despite being overwhelmingly privileged. That they are hurting, despite being carried in litters made of gold by minorities and women, despite having every advantage. You tell that to people who are having mental health problems, you tell that to men who are having mental health problems, you are not part of the solution. You are part of the problem. And that is the rant that I want to do to that. And don't worry about that, Brian. I'm pissed at what they said about the military, too.
All right.
That feeling when I learned my sister is a mass murderer.
Well, is she in the military?
Well, yes. She was for over 20 years, yeah.
Mm. Well, you know, if it's a woman in the military, that means that she was just brainwashed and dragged there against her will. So it's she didn't want to do anything. They actually tortured her and made her do stuff in the military, which she probably has to live with for the rest of her life because they are the toxic ones. And she
Apparently.
Was just a woman
How
that
bloody.
Was just... Go ahead.
How bloody sheltered is this person to be able to say something like that?
Must be nice to be a journalist. Bringing up
the military as though that's even remotely related to civilian life. Not to mention the fact that a lot of military officers don't even see combat or anything. But treating military combat the same way that you would treat a criminal mass murderer is just offensively ignorant.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Right. And then also just be generally treating masculine behavior as though it is psychotic and pathological. And the thing is, how is it that men could, on the one hand, engage in the ultra, apparently, what is bloody mass murder on a government-funded scale, and yet somehow manage to resist being toxically masculine enough to engage in jobs like being paramedics and firemen and, police officers and bodyguards and fucking Boy Scout, troop leaders and caregivers and doctors and so on. No, that's got to be really hard to resist just killing a man that's laying there on your table when you're trying to perform surgery, because that masculinity is coming out and it's making you want to just murder somebody.
Well, what drives me crazy is there is a lot of shit that needs to be done in the world that requires a certain detachment from your emotions, a certain ability to set your own emotions aside, particularly fear, grief, anxiety, uncertainty, mm-hmm. right? Those things. And I'm sorry, my dog is whining, but essentially there are a whole bunch of necessary tasks that require that. And men are the ones who overwhelmingly do these. Set aside your own personal feelings. I don't want to get up in a fucking cherry picker in this wind and rainstorm to fix this power line. Right? Because it's cold and it's unpleasant and it's fucking a little bit scary and nerve-wracking because the wind's blowing 80 kilometers an hour and I'm in this little fucking box next to these freaking live gigantic wires that can pump so much electricity through me that, I'll be dead instantly. Yeah, this is really not what I would like. I would really love to be working in a climate-controlled office writing articles about toxic masculinity. But unfortunately, this is my fucking job, right?
Okay, somebody has sent through a live chat, and we got to move on because we have restricted time. Zach Morano says, I find it interesting that they claim toxic masculinity now denounces everything feminine while they denounce everything masculine. Much awareness.
Such, Brian, such equality. Many genders. Wow. Okay. The easiest way to think of it is to imagine the military. Okay, I already read that bit. However, toxic masculinity has its roots in the everyday. To prove this, we should look no further than the fact a significant number of these killers were domestic violence perpetrators, not just these killers, but the majority of mass murderers. The men who massacre the public...
Basically what she's saying is, it's very interesting to note that violent men are violent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep going, Brian, though.
All right. The men who massacre the public are the same men who butcher women privately in their own homes. The same principles of power, control, fear, and violence apply. Instead of using violence to instill fear in one woman, they scale it up to instill fear across nations. These men walk among us, everywhere. The Jew. Beware. But we only pay attention to their violence when it spills onto our...
Yeah. Prim's echo there was beautiful.
Let Brian finish the paragraph.
I only have the one sentence. These men walk among us everywhere, but we only pay attention to their violence when it spills onto our streets. Beware the homosexual.
This is juicy.
Is this too soon?
Independent?
It's beautiful that every time he says something like the Jew, beware and beware the homosexual, that's just right after Prim has unmuted and it echoes just beautifully.
Bad timing. I just had something that I really wanted to rant about because this was probably the paragraph that pissed me off the most in this article. In fact, they are absolutely not the same men who butcher women privately in their own homes, because the motivations are usually completely different. Think like the difference between a crime of passion versus a crime of opportunity, or reactive violence versus predatory violence. A man who snaps and kills his wife after she's nagged at him one too many times is in a completely different mindset from somebody who seeks out a gay nightclub because he takes issue with homosexuality and begins opening fire in the middle of a crowd of people. Somebody who says something like this has absolutely zero insight into the way most violent crimes happen. And if this person has zero insight into why most violent crimes happen, then why the fuck should they be given a platform to talk about this shit?
I just want to point something out. Just to add to that. Well, so men who murder women in a domestic setting are in the same category as Muslim terrorists. There are so many things I want to say that I'm not going to say.
What about women who kill men in a domestic setting? Are they no different?
Getting what I'm getting there. Men who kill, you know, for example, maybe gunning women down in a parking lot. Those men.
That's a really odd. What could that possibly? What do you really? I mean, it seems like a really random kind of scenario
it is very random, but it's just interesting how those domestic murderers are now in the eyes of the Independent identical to Muslim terrorists.
But he had mental health issues apparently. This person we're talking, he was the one man for whom it was actually a mental health issue.
Feminism is a mental health issue. Yes, it needs attention. Stat.
I just find it ironic that these two things are being connected, because I think that this would not sit well with some individuals who have engaged in domestic violence against women and are men. Just saying that they are the same as Muslim terrorists. Mm-hmm. Just saying. I find that deeply, deeply ironic.
Turn a man into a potential hero for women, and don't be surprised if he acts in risky behavior, sometimes against women, in order to reaffirm.
Yeah, this man who blew himself up, I guarantee there are women ululating over his death and putting flowers on under a picture of him somewhere.
Okay, moving on.
Yes.
All right, if we want this violence to stop, we need to address the root cause and its everyday manifestations before they escalate. These men were not extremists existing outside of society. They are products of it. They were men drunk on the entitlement that patriarchal cultures serve them.
Oh, is this woman actually admitting that Islam is a patriarchal culture?
It's lovely to see the tightrope they walk, eh?
That it's a patriarchy and all of the misogyny and rape culture and subjugation of women and subordination of women and all of that and the homophobia and all of those things that go along with patriarchies, that Islam is actually one of those really, really awful, big, terrible, horrible, awful, no good, really bad patriarchies.
Yes.
But I bet that if you were to press her on it, I'm not sure if this is a female writer. I think it is. They would somehow connect it to Western patriarchy and be like, "Well, the Western patriarchy did it."
It's no different than Broad Street at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night, right?
The way they do this with intersectionality is. Marginalized men obviously oppress their women because they are marginalized within the male hierarchy. So they take it out on their women because they want to feel superior or something.
So it's still white men's fault.
Ultimately, it's still white men's fault. But Brian, take it away. Go.
Okay. They did not impulsively decide to go out and murder large numbers of people. They were fired by a deep, burning desire for control. Projection. Toxic masculinity hinges on having power over others. It demands inequality. As our world becomes more unequal, it becomes more violent. Toxic masculinity exists on political levels, in policing, prisons, immigration detention centers, and controlling security measures. I'm surprised this person didn't try to cram in a Trump jab while she was writing this.
This is just, but it's so false. It's a false premise. As the world becomes more equal, it does not become more violent. If you're going to argue that the world has become more equal over the last 500 years...
Unequal, she's arguing it's become more unequal. Apparently we were better off in the Middle Ages or some shit.
In the Middle East.
God. Yeah,
the real feminist religion. The most feminist religion.
We're in the home stretch, Brian.
Okay. Toxic masculinity finds expression in fascism, sexism, white supremacy, Islamophobia, xenophobia, jingoism, capitalism, and homophobia, rape culture, and patriarchy in the glamorization of military culture. All of these things are bad. So Islamophobia is bad, even though this is coming out... Oh, no, it's not, because the case she's making is it's not Islam that created this guy. It's being a man. It's just being a male.
So she's not Islamophobic, and she can't be a misandrist, because misandry don't reel.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Toxic masculinity finds expression in aggressive fear politics that divides and breeds hate. And as a more right-wing controlling government takes power, we only fuel the fire. There it is.
There you go. There it is.
It's got to get that in there. Jesus.
This article isn't divisive and doesn't breed hate. Men are all to blame. This individual man, but all men.
It's like
that's
the,
not divisive.
Feminist the feminist checklist of progressive talking points. You got your list of things. You have to get white supremacy in there. You got to get xenophobia, Islamophobia, patriarchy, rape culture. You got to check those boxes. And now it's got to get in some Republicans and some Trump.
Yep.
Got to get that in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dude,
absolutely.
That entire paragraph was just the tastiest word salad I've ever seen. Most of those are on the list of videos that I'm planning to make about the misuse of words. I've never actually seen somebody string them together and try to make a cognizant point like that. That's actually kind of hilarious. It
tastes like insanity. We all want to stop these attacks happening, and preventing this devastating violence depends on our ability to prevent male violence in general. We must dismantle societal structures that entitle, enable, and empower men to use violence in all its forms to exert power and control, but we don't have a fucking clue as to what to replace it with.
Well, here's the thing, but if we look at the research into how terrorist cells operate and how they use Islam as a way to motivate male violence... If you remove male violence from the Western culture and just give Islam a pass, you're not actually going to be getting... You're actually saying to these Islamic women, take us over. With the use of your male... Your willingness to use male violence as a tool to further your ideological and political ends. How can she not see that Islam is part of the societal structure that enables the use of men as weapons to further itself? And if you challenge the use of violence in the Western culture, where we don't do that, we don't believe that that's legitimate to use violence to advance an ideological position, unless you're the left. Wait, sorry. I just fell into the hole of her logic.
Unless you're the left at the moment, yes.
At the moment, yes. Okay, just let's do the final paragraph. We're almost done.
But before all this, we need to start recognizing male violence for what it is. We need to acknowledge that hateful, toxic masculinity is bred among us in the everyday. We need to start pulling apart and dismantling its roots in male entitlement and structures that promote masculine supremacy. You know, like capitalism, government, meritocracy, reason, evidence, logic. That's how...
Nothing says male entitlement like strapping a bomb to your chest and blowing yourself up for an ideology.
Yeah.
Did you guys, before we go, I have an abstract to read for you, but just continue.
All right. That's how we can truly address the regularity and scale of these attacks. That's the end.
All right. that. So this is basically the end. Does anybody have any final thoughts before we usher this out? Because we're having only like 20 minutes for the after show.
Karen has something.
Okay, well, when Brian said, you know, don't be so feminist. Exploring student resistance to feminist approaches in a Canadian university by Michelle Weber. Synopsis. This paper explores student resistance to feminist course content in social science courses cross-listed with women's studies as an example of social reproduction at work. Drawing on both interviews and anonymous student course evaluations, student resistance to feminism is examined from the layered perspectives of faculty, teaching assistants, and students in these courses. The author argues that a regime of rationality still operates in the academy and is made evident when feminist course content is met with continual dismissal or disavowal.
Can I just... I want to say something to that final statement. That this is a representation of male entitlement. How the fuck is this... How the fuck is a young man strapping a bomb to his chest and blowing himself up?
Because heaven is better than this world.
Okay, how is that in service of an ideology, not valuing his life so little that the only thing that gives his life any worth is service to an ideology? How is that a sense of, and it, you know what? I'm not saying that we remove his personal responsibility, but this is a lot of fucking brainwashing going on to think that your only worth is to die in service of your ideology. How is that entitlement?
How is it entitlement if you have to blow yourself up to earn a reward?
Yeah.
That's worth having.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the ultimate in not being entitled.
like
you have to sacrifice everything, every aspect of yourself, every bit of your life, just to have a reward in a fabled, potentially imaginary afterlife. That's entitlement.
Well, also, I mean, other than in the case where men are told to strap bombs to themselves and blow themselves up so they can go to heaven, men are not empowered to use violence. Like, that's kind of what we have laws for. Like, where does this person live that everybody's like, yeah, it's totally cool. Men can just go and be as violent as they want. I don't understand that. Like, I never see that kind of thing, except maybe in like impoverished neighborhoods like we were talking about earlier. But that hardly represents the whole of Western society. Like, I just don't get it.
Here's the thing, that these Muslim men are so entitled, they have to blow themselves up to get sex with women.
Yeah, at the at the possibility, it's a leap of faith, because you don't know for sure, right? So
it's they're so entitled to female sexuality.
Yeah,
so entitled. Oh God, well, you know what? Feminism.
Giving them, they're killing themselves for a shot at a possibility of getting female attention. It's gynocentric as fuck.
It's heartening also that the comments of this article are mostly all coming out against it.
Yeah, I saw that.
We're never going to go into that, but it's good for everybody in the chat to know most people are saying this is...
Okay, yeah. Well, we have to go into the after show. We all have very little time for it. Our after show is once again making crab eyes at you, I think it is, making sexy crab eyes at you, and we're covering a very interesting commercial. And if you want to get the Doge to Australia, www.feedthebadger.com.
In the after show, www.patreon.com/honeybadgerradio. Choose